This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
Guys, all right, welcome to episode 58 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Presented as always by TalkLoudRadio.com and coming at you live every Tuesday and Friday night. And now we are not only live on Facebook, but we are also live on YouTube, live on Twitter, and also live on Twitch. So you can find us simulcast on all of those sites if you want to check us out. We are live every Tuesday and Friday night, and streaming as always in the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. I'm here always, as I always am, with Mr. Ryan Searfoss. Ryan, how you doing tonight?
Really good, man. Ready for another week of Lamar Jackson.
Definitely, man. He had a pretty good game there. I think he didn't get quite as many carries, but he was definitely more efficient than he was the week previous.
Oh yeah, no, we're going to be talking about that one here in a little bit.
All right,
good stuff. Yeah, very excited about it.
All right, give me just 1 second here. I'm trying to share the stream to all our groups here. Yeah, it's this new way of doing things doesn't allow me to stream it quite as easy. All right, cool. I think we're good now. All right, well, let's go ahead and just jump right into the news and injuries that we've got going on here. We'll go ahead and start with go back to the Thursday games. Talk about some of the players from the Thursday games. Marvin Jones for the Lions has been put on IR. What does that do for that Lions offense as far as their statuses going forward? And specifically, what does it do for Galladay?
I mean, we kind of talked about it last week with Golden Tate being gone and them already taking a dip. Now Marvin Jones is gone. It's just Galladay. Like, they're not, who else they have? Ellington and TJ Jones.
Yep.
Those are the three receivers. I hate it for Stafford. I'm not playing. I'm probably, if I can get away from not playing Stafford the rest of the year, and if I'm not deeply, I'm probably dumping him. But I like Galladay. He's gonna get targeted. I mean, they might not be quality, but in the end, if he's targeted 15 times and catches 6 or 7, that's a playable fantasy week.
Yep, agreed.
So he's not gonna dip that far for me. It's just he has tempered expectations a little. Could be a little more volatile.
Yep, I agree 100%. I think he'll get the volume. He may not get the big plays that he was getting, but you know, when they had Marvin Jones, especially when they had Golden Tate there as well. But he is their red zone threat. He is their number one option in the passing game. So I definitely think that Galladay is going to be a good play going forward, based strictly on volume alone.
Yeah, hopefully the running game can pick up a little bit. Maybe Kerryon's fully healthy, get him in there a little more involved.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, and
they use
Theo Riddick a lot in the slot as well, which, you know, kind of gives them that sort of Golden Tate-ish receiver in the slot.
Yeah, it's mess there, man.
It is.
They're a bad team.
It is. They really are a bad team. All right. Well, speaking of volume, we got Mr. Amari Cooper Thursday night blew up. Well, actually, it's Thursday afternoon. I'm not sure of his exact stats, but I know he had 2 touchdowns, a huge fantasy day. Speak a little bit about Amari Cooper going forward. What do you think of Amari?
Dude, I'm excited about it. I mean, he's always been a talented dude. He was a first-round pick. He, started 2 1,000-yard seasons, had one bad year, and everybody thought he was trash. Now we're just seeing him on a quality team with a little bit better quarterback who, I would say, doesn't get the respect he deserves. Like, he's not that – or Dak's not that bad of a quarterback. And I think he finally has a legit number one receiver who can make plays. And that's fantastic for him. And I think Amari might not be consistent week-to-week receiver one, but if the volume's there, he's good. I mean, he was targeted 9 times for 8 catches, 180 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Like, that's balling out. He's the top receiver this week.
Yeah, he definitely had a big game. kind of upset me because, you know, I play DFS and I put my DFS lineup in and I put Tre'Quan Smith in. And I was like, okay, if Tre'Quan Smith is not ruled in officially by the start of the Cowboys game, I'm going to pivot. I had $100 left over. I'm going to pivot to Amari Cooper. Well, we end up having Thanksgiving dinner right at the start of the Cowboys game. I couldn't pivot off Tre'Quan Smith. I got stuck with him in my lineup. And, of course, Amari Cooper goes off, and I get stuck with a big fat zero. So it was not a good day for me at all.
No, that would have went from terrible to great in a heartbeat.
Yes, it would have.
He had 38 PPR points.
Yeah, it was. He had a pretty crazy game, and I was so pissed that I didn't get a chance to change him. I was able to pivot to Calvin Ridley that night for the evening game. He had a decent game, but it wasn't Amari Cooper like.
No, not at all. And then, I mean, since you mentioned him, Tre'Quan Smith being injured, what are we feeling there?
Tre'Quan Smith, I think he'll be fine. I think I heard already he's already practicing in limited fashion. I think they gave him that extra week off just to sort of make sure that he was good. I think if it was a playoff game, he probably could have gone. But I think that he will be back this week, and I think it's all systems go for him. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if he's practicing, it's normally a good sign. But I don't know why they'd push it if they're winning most of their games now, because I'd rather have a fully healthy team for the playoffs. So I'm still going to be kind of watching it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if they do get up big, he's probably the first one they pull out. But I think that because he's a rookie, they probably still play him just to give him those reps, because the more reps he has, the better he's going to be come playoff time, and they probably really need him to step up. So I'm not worried about Tre'Quan Smith going forward. One guy that we would be worried about, Dalton going to IR. How does that affect all those pass catchers in that offense?
I think it's a little bit of a down for everybody. I mean, Dalton wasn't that great this year, if I'm going to be honest. But we have no idea what Jeff Driscoll can or cannot do. I mean, is it hard to be as good as Andy Dalton? Probably not. But will he be? I don't know. I'm proceeding with caution, especially if AJ – who knows they're going to activate AJ Green now?
Yeah.
They're out of the playoff hunt. Why worry about your star receiver?
That's a good point. Yeah. What if they do shut him down and say, okay, we don't want to risk it. We're not in the playoffs. We just lost our quarterback, so we're not going to make a late push for the playoffs. Yeah, that's a good point there. So if you're an AJ Green owner, you're probably a little worried. If you're a Tyler Boyd owner, you're probably a little worried as well, because I mean, he's been money for you all season, and AJ Green goes down, he struggles a little bit, and then now you got no quarterback there. Jeff Driscoll's now your quarterback, and he's a running quarterback, not quite on the level as Lamar Jackson, but he is a running quarterback. I know a little bit about him because the 49ers did draft him, actually. And the 49ers drafted him, and then they tried to cut him and put him on the practice squad. But unfortunately, the Bengals stepped in and signed him before we could sign him to our practice squad. So they've got him ever since. But I watched him a little bit in preseason, and he was one of those guys that if his first option isn't open, he's running the ball usually.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Boyd's going to get hit for it. And if all that's gone, what's going to do for Mixon? Maybe the running quarterback will help a little bit, but that's really all they have.
Yep, agreed. Agreed 100%.
Next up, we got Cameron Brate scoring this week, and him and Winston are back together as a nice little duo.
Yeah. The question is, are they a QB1 and tight end one going forward? I think Cameron Brate, hands down, is definitely a tight end one going forward with this tight end landscape the way it is. It's, you know, you catch a touchdown as a tight end, you basically are one of the better tight ends that week, because that's all you need really to really put up points. If you're not Zach Ertz or Kelsey or Kittle, you're basically just a guy. So I think Brate is a better guy than most guys out there right now. So he's definitely a tight end one. Winston being a QB1, it's probably not. I think there's enough QBs ahead of him. If we're going to a 12-team league, I think he's probably going to be in that 13-14 range, just outside. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't be the top QB any given week that he's out there, but he can also be the quarterback that kills you and throws four interceptions and gets negative points. So I think if he is your QB1 going forward, you're a little bit worried, and you hope you get good Jameis the rest of the year, but I'd be worried if he was my QB1. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't trust him being your own quarterback, because they could pull him at any time. And like his performances, we see 6.5, 30, 20, 8, 15, 22. Those are his performances this year. And you got to mix him with being benched with those. Like, we have no idea. He has Carolina, New Orleans next 2 weeks, which is solid. And then Baltimore 15, which will be a tough one for him. So I don't trust Winston. I better have a backup plan.
Yeah, I think the only way
keep playing him, but
the only way that I'm having him start on my team is if I'm an owner of, like, say if I had Andy Dalton as my QB going into the season. If I'm in a deep league and I don't have one of those top QBs or my QB is injured, that's the only way I'm putting Winston in there. But otherwise, unless it's a great matchup, I'm not going to be playing him as my tight end or as my QB one.
Yeah, I think it's like he's basically a streamer now to me.
Agreed.
If we're looking at it that way, high end streamer.
Agreed. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Jaguars. They got a lot going on here. So they're going to be without Fournette for at least a game. I know he's trying to appeal it. I doubt he wins it. I've seen the video. It's not good. So he's getting suspended, and then their starting quarterback finally gets benched for Cody Kessler. Talk a little bit about the Jaguars, and is there any fancy value this coming up week with Fournette out this week?
I'm sick about Fournette. I have him and A.J. Green paired in two of my leagues right now, and both are like, one's a borderline playoff team, one's winning in, the other one's in. Like, and I'm sick about it. But, I mean, if you need Fournette this week, it hurts bad, but he'll be back in playoffs. Maybe Carlos Hyde. If we think he's going to get the job for sure, I'd put my money on him over Yeldon. He looked good this week when he got carries, and he's been good throughout his career. So I like Hyde short term like this, but he's a 1 week rental.
Yeah, agreed. He's a 1 week rental. And if you're, you know, trying to get your fab and spend it, I don't know if you want to spend it too much on a guy if you're just going to have for 1 week. But yeah, Carlos Hyde's the one I'd want to. He has the higher touchdown upside. PPR leagues, you could think about Yeldon a little bit, but I think Hyde is good enough in the passing game that I don't think he comes out on passing downs. So yeah, I agree 100%.
Would Hyde catch 50 balls a year ago in San Fran? Something like that?
Yeah, he actually had a pretty good season a couple years ago. Yep, that's true. We do have something on the Facebook here I want to put on the broadcast here as we talk about the Jaguars. Westbrook being the only piece on the outside, is he flex worthy?
Oh God. Has he been flex worthy this year? In all reality, like, it's a rotating who's going to have 8 points in a week or 12 points.
Right.
Whether it's Westbrook, Moncrief, Cole, no matter what week you look at, somebody different who's the top leading receiver. If I don't have to start one of them, I'm not.
Yeah, agreed. I think if you're flexing him, you're in a deep league or you're really hard up for some receivers. Maybe you have like A.J. Green and a couple other things too. But yeah, I agree. I think that it's sort of a who's who of who you're going to play each week. I mean, someone's going to be good that week or someone's going to be good each week, but picking which one is going to be impossible to tell. So agreed 100%.
The real question is this an upgrade from Blake Bortles at quarterback?
Yeah, exactly. Is this an upgrade? I think... has he started a game yet in his career? I don't know much about this quarterback. I've heard his name, but I don't know if he's even started anywhere yet.
I have no idea, honestly. But, oh, God, I'm not sure. I'll look.
Yeah, you can look that up while we're talking about him a little bit. Yeah, I think, I don't know, two quarterback leagues, deep league, maybe you add him, just sort of a speculative add if you have the spot on your roster to do it. But I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to get him. And I don't think this offense is going to be very good. I don't want any pieces of it. If I can somehow, dump Fournette, I don't even know if that's possible now, but the trade deadline's being gone, but I don't want any part of Fournette either. This rest of the season with this is my quarterback situation. No, thank you.
I mean, no, I'm still starting Fournette if he's there. They're going to feed him the ball, man. They literally have nothing.
This is true. I mean, he'll get the volume for sure. Cause there ain't nobody else to give it to.
No, I think Kessler started a couple games in Cleveland.
Did he?
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe he started one or two games. But I mean, it doesn't affect Fournette. They've had bad quarterback play all year.
This is true.
Cody Kessler has 1,662 passing yards on his career, 7 touchdowns, 4 picks.
All right. So.
So. Could be worse. I mean, he has more touchdowns than interceptions. That's not great.
Yeah, there you go. Something like, to look at there.
With Bortles, is the trash he's throwing our way.
True story. All right, what about your boy Lamar Jackson? Is he a legit quarterback one going forward rest of the season with his rushing upside?
I mean, if he's starting, he kind of has to be. I mean, if you take away just his passing this week, he had 14 points from running the ball, or 13 points from his 70-yard rush against touchdown. Like, right there is your floor.
Yep.
And then you add 150 to 200 passing yards. That's money, man.
Definitely. Definitely.
I think. Atlanta's defense isn't going to do anything to stop anybody this week. So he's a high value play. Yep. So I'm all in on Lamar the rest of the year, which had some shares of him. And he's available in no leagues I'm in. And it makes me sad. Like, I'm very sad about it. I have all my home leagues, all my redraft are home leagues, and I have a fellow Ravens fan in them. And he scooped him up and just held him all year.
I picked him up the week that he was, you know, still sort of, he might start, he might not start. I picked him up and added him in a league. But in that league, I have Andrew Luck, and I don't foresee a situation where I'm starting Lamar Jackson over Andrew Luck. So I have him on the bench just chilling, and the trade deadline's already passed by, so I don't know what I'm going to do with him unless Luck gets hurt.
Luck does have the Jags this week.
Yeah, but a few weeks ago he lit him up, so I think I'm going to be fine with starting him again.
And it's Andrew Luck.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's got 8 straight games now with 2 touchdowns or more.
Yeah.
Maybe even 3 touchdowns or more, so yeah, definitely. All right, let's stay there in Ravens country and talk about the Gus Bus. Is he the real deal going forward?
They love him, man, and he's perfect for Lamar Jackson. Like, long as Lamar's a starting quarterback, I think Gus the Bus is – I don't know if I like the nickname yet, but I think he's money, man. They're running the crap out of him, and Baltimore's running the ball a ton. They went from 27th in the league in rushing before Lamar Jackson took over to 11th.
Damn, that's crazy.
The last 2 weeks, they had 56 of 45 rushing attempts.
Wow.
Which were by far the top each week in the league. So the volume's there. And he doesn't even have to get all the carries to get that kind of volume. So, long as Jackson's there, I feel comfortable starting him as an RB2.
All right. Yeah, good stuff. I'm actually, I know we're in a shared league. It's King of the Draft League. It was a charity league. And I actually made the playoffs. And Gus Edwards is still available on my waiver wire. And I just blew all of my fab, literally every dollar that I have, to try to get him. There is one guy in my league that has more fab than me. So, unless he went all in, hopefully I will get him. So definitely going forward, rest of the season, he is probably an RB2 going forward for me.
Yeah, he's worth throwing all the fab on, and you got to play him if you have him.
Yep. All right, let's talk about another running back that had a humongous game. He had 100 yards receiving, 100 yards rushing, a touchdown receiving, a touchdown running. Mr. Christian McCaffrey, who is now on a points-per-game basis, second only to only Todd Gurley on the year. What do you think of McCaffrey going forward?
Man, is this like the quietest, like, top three performance ever by a running back this year?
Yes, it's got to be.
Like, no one talks about Christian McCaffrey. They talk to him, like, after, like, 2 days after a huge game, and then he just kind of fades off. But he's awesome, man. He's – even if he took away his rushing, he's a great football player because he's a machine receiving the ball. I think he's a top five running back, like, here on out.
Yep.
I'm talking not just this season, but, like, in the future. You got, like, guys like Hunt, Fournette, who are great, but they have little dips. Like, they're not – Hunt isn't the focal point of the offense.
Right.
Fournette doesn't have the passing game. Kamara's part is not, like, the man there because they have so many weapons. But McCaffrey, man, he's everything. Doesn't come off the field. He's probably the team's best receiver.
Yep.
Obviously, he's the best running back. I heard that the reason C.J. Anderson got cut is he requested to be let go because McCaffrey never leaves the field.
There you go. That says it all right there. Yeah, I actually own him in my Dynasty League. I drafted him as a rookie. And, you know, last year, everyone kind of gave him the sort of rookie, you know, they didn't want to give him a big game or a big season. But he actually finished last year, I believe, number 10 overall for running backs because of his receiving yards were so good and his, you know, points per reception. I think he had like 70 catches last year or something crazy. So in fantasy, he was great. He just didn't score a lot of touchdowns last year. But now he's got the volume in the air, the volume on the ground, and he's getting touchdowns now too. So definitely should be up there with it when you mentioned the top running backs with Todd Gurley and all them, et cetera. I think he should be mentioned in that breath as well.
100%. He definitely needs to be less of that kind of guy.
Agreed.
Next up, we got Gronk's return. last week. He scored a touchdown. Looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was not looking forward to this because the top team in my league recently made a trade for him. That was his one weakness, was tight end. And he got Gronkowski in a trade. I was hoping that he would still stay hurt the rest of the season or come back and be a shell of himself. Unfortunately, that did not happen. He came back. He looked good. He looked like the regular Gronk. I'm still worried about Tom Brady. I know he looked better this week than he has in the past few weeks. But if I'm going into the fantasy playoffs with Tom Brady as my quarterback, I am most definitely nervous right now. He hasn't looked as the QB you drafted, for sure. But Gronk's back, so maybe Brady will be back as well. So yeah, if you got Gronk, plug him in your lineup and just roll with him until he gets hurt again.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Gronk, who else are you going to play over him?
Exactly.
Like, no chance you have Gronk or Kelce or Gronk or Ertz or maybe Kittle. Kittle probably the only one of those guys would be like one of only three people I'd play over. I'd think about playing over Gronk.
Yeah,
matchup and dependent. I'd not feel good about it.
Yep.
I'd probably still pivot towards Gronk.
Agreed. All right, staying with that same game there, Sony Michel went down yet again in the middle of the game and yet again came back in the middle of the game. He gave me another scare because I have him in my Dynasty League as well. What do you think of Sony Michel and this injury that he keeps like having these knee injuries and back injuries and reoccurring injuries going forward? Are you worried about him?
Yes. Like, I'm going to have to ask Ethan Turner, who we had on here the one time, a little bit more about it, but like, he had those knee problems coming out. It was well documented. Similar to Giants, seems like they're just it's just nagging stuff.
Yep.
And I don't know. He scares me. I'm okay with him in redraft. If he's a dynasty guy for me, I might try to move him after a big game because he scares me a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sucks because he's super talented.
Yeah, he's so good when he's on the field. I got so nervous because I actually saw the play he got hurt on, and it looked like he was going to be out for the season. Because they basically bent him over backwards with his knees still on the ground. I thought, oh, that's it. He's done. And then I'm at work, so I really can't watch a whole lot. But then I get the message on my phone that he runs for a 30-yard run, you know, after that. So I was like, okay, I guess he's back and he's fine. So it was just kind of crazy to see him come back already. What else we got on here? What's the next one?
Next up, we got Josh Adams, RB2 the rest of the season.
Definitely. I think he got 22 touches this past week. The Eagles, I don't think they have anything. I mean, they're in the East, the NFC East, so maybe they got a chance to make a late playoff push. But if they're going to make that late playoff push, they got to lean on Josh Adams and feed him the rock, because that offense hasn't looked like it was last year. That defense is not as good as it was last year. Obviously, their secondary is crap, so they got to keep them off the field. And Josh Adams is the way to do it and just run the ball like they did this past weekend, and it worked out for them this week.
Yeah, I think he's their short term option for the rest of the season for sure. I don't know how much going past that, but I mean, he's getting the carries. Why not? If they're gonna keep running like that, and their passing game hasn't been what it should be, which is sad because I love Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think it's been a surprise in how bad the Eagles' offense has been. I know the defense is banged up. The offense is banged up as well, but those playmakers are all still there. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey's still there, and you know, they got Josh Adams now in the backfield. The Zach Ertz is there. They just added Golden Tate. They should be better. They're better on paper than they actually are on the field.
They really are. I think they still need a deep threat, man. They had that last year, missing it now.
It's a good point. Yeah, they need that stretch the field kind of person.
All right. Then we got, on the worst side, we got Melvin Gordon's out 2 to 4 weeks with them. And 2 to 4 weeks with the MCL sprain.
Yeah. This is tough because, I mean, if you got Melvin Gordon, you're going into the playoffs. He's probably your RB1. This is tough. I mean, hopefully you were able to get Eckler as your handcuff, because he's definitely worth it, as we saw this past week. But if you don't have Eckler and you're stuck trying to replace Melvin Gordon, good luck. I know they got Justin Jackson as the rookie backup, but he hasn't played much this year, so I wouldn't expect much from him at all.
Now, I liked him coming out a lot, but it's not his time yet. But yeah, that hurts a lot. If you're in the fantasy playoffs, you better hope you have a buy or be praying for a miracle.
Yep. It's going to hurt for sure, because he's probably, like I said, he's probably your RB1 for sure.
I mean, if they lock up the playoffs, by the time he's back, they might just leave him out for the season.
That's a good point. Yep, that's a good point.
Because they're right there, and their division doesn't have anybody else who's going to really threaten them.
That's a good point.
All right, we got Jack, or another injury is Jack DeLoto to the IR because, you know, tight end's not rough enough as it is.
Yeah. Well, I guess it kind of makes it easy to pick who you're going to pick for tight ends in Indianapolis is there. It's going to be Eric Ebron. We saw what he was earlier in the season when Jack Doyle was out. I mean, he was the tight end one. He was actually leading the league in touchdowns at one point and on pace to break Gronkowski's record for touchdowns. So Eric Ebron, rest of the season, is probably going to be in that top five-ish range for tight ends, I believe.
Who would you play? Who would you rather have, Ebron or Gronk, rest of the season?
Still Gronk. I think it's still Gronk. It's a little bit closer than it probably should be, but it's still Gronk for me. What about you?
Yeah, probably. He's going to get more volume. He gets the volume no matter what.
Yep.
So I'm going to trust that.
Agreed.
All right. Then we got another dud by Aaron Rodgers this week.
Yeah, I know. I keep asking this question each week. Are we worried about Rodgers? And you keep telling me you're not worried about him. Are you worried about him yet?
No. it's so hard. It's Aaron Rodgers, and like, he just kind of has that aura where he'd go off any game because I'm not going to bench him because he's going to have that week.
Yeah.
Minnesota has a really good defense, and it just wasn't matchup wise. I just don't think he has any other receivers other than Adams. I don't think they found the guy yet.
I agree. I think
I'm starting to think if MVS might not be that dude who people are acting like he is. And
that's
what I'm thinking. I'm a little worried about what he has around him. And then the emergence of Aaron Jones, who's been great for fantasy, has not been helpful to Aaron Rodgers.
This is true. Yeah. If you got Rodgers, you're hating Aaron Jones right now because he's getting all the volume. And I agree with the MVS call too, as well. I think that they thought it was going to be him, but then I think when Equanimeous St. Brown actually led the team in receiving yards when he went out with an injury. So Adams, of course, ended up being the main guy there. But Brown was the second leading receiver on the team, I think, this past game. So you have no idea who's getting the ball. And, of course, Jimmy Graham's got a broken finger, and he's trying to play with that as well. So, yeah, I'm worried about Rodgers. Obviously, you're still starting him, unless for some reason you own, like, if you drafted Aaron Rodgers and then you got Patrick Mahomes, I guess, in late rounds maybe. But for the most part, you got to start him.
Yeah, I want him to give Jamon Moore a chance because he's the rookie I drafted everywhere in Dynasty.
Yeah, he hasn't done much of anything.
He needs to get the next chance because no one else is really doing it.
Yep.
All right, what do we have next up there?
Let's see, Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray timeshare. They both kind of got on the field a little bit. I think Cook got a touchdown. Murray got a bunch of carries at the end of the game. If you're a Dalvin Cook owner, you probably drafted him as a second round pick. What are you worried about Murray taking all of his shares, or you think Cook's just getting back into game shape?
I think Cook's still going to get the run zone carries because he's been fantastic there. But touch wise, I mean, it's not where I want it to be. I want Dalvin to get that volume, but he still has the big playability in the pass game. And with them still kind of being in the playoff hunt, they have to get their best players, man.
Yep.
Like, so I expect him to keep getting more involved in the offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're just trying to work him in slowly, and he'll be the man going down because he's the one that they drafted, you know, to take over this spot. And I just think that he's injured, and they're trying to work him back in slowly, and eventually he'll take over that lead role once again.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dynamic player, and that's what you want at the running back position. And no disrespect to Latavius Murray, he's just kind of a plotter at the position.
Mm-hmm.
Just north-south goes forward and does his job, which isn't bad, but you want the playmaker in there, someone like Cook who can do everything.
Agreed. All right, the last one I got on here, I just want you to talk about this long touchdown run that Lamar Miller had last night. Did you watch it live?
I saw it on Red Zone, so yeah. I did watch it live, I'm sorry. But dude, Lamar Miller is the biggest tease in the world. Like, he does just enough that doesn't justify moving him or making a move for him. He's one of the most untradeable guys in fantasy football. It's been like that his whole career. He shows flashes, then disappears.
Yep.
Shows flashes, disappears. It's been like that for, 4 years now?
Yep.
I'm not buying into it too much. If he's on my team, chances are I have to play him. And he's a solid RB2 flex guy. He's always going to be right around there. He's boring. A 97 yard run awesome, thrill exciting for boring player, but he is what he is, man.
Yep. I agree 100%. I actually was able to trade him in my Dynasty League and got a first round pick back for him, so I was happy with that. So I'll be, I think I packaged him with a second round pick as well. So it wasn't, I just gave up a first round for Lamar Miller, but still overall, I think it was a good trade for me. I think in the long run, I like my trade better.
Yeah, I'd rather pick than him all day.
All right, let's do some waiver wire for tomorrow. What you got?
Cool. First one I'm going to have, I'm going kind of super scarce here, is Robert Foster for the Bills. He's a 0.1% ownership in the ESPN leagues. He now has 199 yards over the last two games.
Impressive.
He's a 100-yard game and 96-yard game. And he's a big play threat. Like, he's a top-tier athlete. He's in the 91st percentile for 40-yard dashes in the league. He runs a 4.41, so he burns it. He's going to be super volatile, but he has some good matchups coming up. And Josh Allen loves to throw deep. And that's his guy he's going to. You're going to see peaks and valleys. But if you get a good matchup, man, he could be a person you throw in, gets three catches for 90 yards and a touchdown and make you extremely happy.
Yep.
But it's completely off of what they do. But Allen needs to find people he's used to, and that's one of his top guys right now.
That's a good call.
Scarce leagues, he's one of the guys I'm looking at. Gus Edwards, who we talked about, he's available in like 46% of leagues. He's out there.
Not anymore, he will be. After this weekend, he'll be 100% owned probably.
After tomorrow, he should be, yeah. He's 53.8 right now. Your boy Marcel Aitman, he had a rough game.
He had 10 targets, but yeah, he had a rough game.
Yeah, three catches for 16 yards. That was 10 targets. The 10 targets is promising. He drew a lot of Marlon Humphrey on him playing Baltimore, who's one of the top corners, or top young corners in the league. So that didn't help him production-wise. But Carr likes him, so someone has to catch the ball there.
Yeah, you think so, at least.
Maybe, yeah. Carlos Hyde is a one-week rental while Fournette's out. If you're a team who... at the tight end, or while sticking to the running backs real quick, Austin Eckler is still available in 46% of leagues.
Hopefully, all the leagues that those Melvin Gordon owners need him.
And if you're not the Melvin Gordon owner, spend your fab. Either way, you spend all your fab. But I'm trying to get him even more now, especially if I'm not the Melvin Gordon owner. Help me out, screw them over.
Hold on.
He's in there 2 to 4 weeks, man. That's your playoffs.
Yep, agreed. Hold on, before you move on, what was the Bills receiver again? We got a question on Facebook. What was his name?
Robert Foster.
Robert Foster. He said 200 yards over the last two games, right?
198, yeah.
It's just sort of 200, yeah. It's pretty good production for that terrible offense.
And it was off six catches. Like, I believe it was six catches. Yeah, he had more catches over the last two games than he had the entire season.
That's always good.
It's very scary, but it's something there. It's with Josh Allen there, so that new QB makes a difference.
Yep.
Like I said, we talked about Eckler. He's not going to be Melvin Gordon production, but he's solid RB2. I lost my train of thought with that one. And I'm going to look at Jordan. At Gerald Everett, tight end for the Rams. He's available in 94% of leagues.
Oh, yeah. After his humongous game on Thursday, he'll definitely be owned pretty heavily.
Yeah, he has three touchdowns in the last two games. He was a freak athlete coming out. He was a second-round pick. They traded up to get him. And it's just a tight end curve that you're waiting on. They have a ton of weapons. And even though Cook was not a huge receiver, he was their top red zone guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to make that up between Everett and Josh Reynolds, who is another guy. If he's out there, pick him up. And then other tight end worth picking up who I really like is Chris Herndon. He's available in 90% of leagues. In the last 6 weeks, he either scored a touchdown or had 50 yards in five of them, which if you do either of those, you're a top 12 tight end
because
tight end sucks.
Yeah,
quarterback-wise, I tweeted this earlier. Who do you think's owned more in fantasy leagues right now, Baker Mayfield, or who's available more, Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson?
Available more, I would think probably Lamar Jackson, because people weren't buying into them just yet. What do you think?
No, actually Baker Mayfield's available in more leagues.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 49-42, like their ownership percentage available. Yeah, so Baker Mayfield's one of my top QB ads right now. He now has two or more touchdowns in five straight games. He's played really, really well. And he has a nice schedule going forward in his matchup championship weeks against the Bengals, who we just saw him laid up for four touchdowns. So he's out there. I'm grabbing him. I'm comfortable playing in playoffs. If you're a Mahomes owner, he might be worth someone worth grabbing and stashing, because chances are week 16.
He could be playing
Mahomes
half.
Might be sitting.
Yep, he could be playing a half if that. Yep.
Yep, so if you can add the roster space, grab Mayfield now. And he could probably give you some playing time if you need a QB. And then Lamar Jackson, obviously, which we talked about earlier.
All right, good stuff there. Good stuff.
Anybody else there I missed?
No, not that I can think of. I think you pretty much nailed all of them. Someone that might be interesting for me, is just because the Colts use the tight end so much, is Ali Cox. I think he's like a humongous target in the red zone. He's gotten touchdowns a few times here. Now that it's just Ebron and Ali Cox, if you're really hard up for a tight end, you could probably look at him. They probably still won't go away from the two tight end sets that they've been doing all season. So I expect him to sort of step into that role for where Ebron was, and Ebron will be the Jack Doyle role. But that's the only guy I can really think of other than the ones you mentioned.
I'm not going to lie. I've never heard of that guy before.
Really?
Yeah. He said Ali Cox?
Ali Cox, yeah. He's like a humongous tight end. He's caught a couple touchdowns this season, too. I mean, he's a monster of a man. I mean, if you see him, like, stand next to even Eric Ebron, he probably dwarfs him.
Yeah, Ebron's not a very big dude at all.
Yeah, look him up. I don't know what he's got for his stats this year, but I know he's caught a couple touchdowns because he's vultured some.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's Robert Foster. 3 catches, 105, and 2 for 94.
Nice.
He's legit just a big play dude.
Nice. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll play a little bit of a Slow Your Roll and some this or that for next week.
All right, cool.
I can't get my commercial to play here. Let's try that again. There we go.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win. And the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
Welcome back. As always, we are available on all the iTunes, or all the podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. After the show is done, it'll be posted to those sites. We're also available in syndication on YouTube. And obviously now we're available on Stitch and, I'm sorry, Twitch. I have to get used to that. Twitch and Twitter will also be available there as well. So find us anywhere, basically, on social media. All right, we're going to play a little bit of Slow Your Roll, which is basically guys that, you know, are pretty good players, but they're sort of on the fringe between starting and not starting, that may have some tough matchups this week. And we'll start off with the guy we kind of talked about already, Mr. Amari Cooper. Is going, he's playing the Saints this week, and he'll probably have Lattimore on him. What do you think of Amari Cooper going forward or going into this game?
I kind of agree with you. I kind of hate the matchup against Lattimore because he's nasty. He's a good top-tier corner, and they'll probably shadow him, being there's not really anyone else to worry about there. I definitely slow my roll with him, and if I have somebody else I can start in his place, I'll do it. I'm not going to bench him for someone like we talked about in the waivers. Like, I'm not going to bench for Robert Foster.
Right.
But if you get me some middle-range receiver with some talent, I might pick them instead.
Yeah, what about like a Quincy and Nunwa? Would you start Quincy and Nunwa over Amari Cooper?
No.
No, okay.
It'd be more like around the Doug Baldwin area where I'd start to question it.
Gotcha. All right. The next one I got here is Calvin Ridley, who finally came out of the shadows of once again, had a pretty good game. He had that big fumble at the end that probably cost him the game, but he's going up against your Ravens. What do you feel about Calvin Ridley?
I'm skipping on that. Ridley's been inconsistent. He's a rookie. He's been really good for a rookie, but the plays back and forth kind of, I mean, we have 40-point games, 7-point games, 6-point games, 20-point games. It's all over the place. The targets are not consistent. But against Baltimore, it could be a rough matchup for them, especially with how much Baltimore runs the ball. It's going to slow everything down.
That's a good point. Yeah, you don't really think about that when you're thinking about sit starts on the opposing offense. You know, being a slow offense and getting less possessions could probably affect your guy as well, so less opportunity to score.
Yeah, 40 to 50 carries a game, man. That game, it's slowing everything down.
Yep, that's true. All right, one of the guys that made your waiver wire list, I got here on my list of slow your roll, on Baker Mayfield, going up against the Texans, who have a pretty good defense. They just, you know, kind of shut down Marcus Mariota last night. Baker Mayfield, I think if you're putting out there hoping you get 4 touchdowns again, I don't think you can expect that. I do think he's a viable quarterback, but I don't think he this week is going to be a QB1 against this Texans team.
No, I think he'll be around that 12 to 15 range. Texans, it could turn out to be a shootout, would be the only reason I'd be still willing to play him. But there's a lot of good matchups for the top-tier quarterbacks. So I'm not going to start if I don't have to. But I wouldn't feel really bad doing it.
Agreed, agreed. And the last two I got here are actually entire receiving cores. basically, all the Packers receivers not named Davante Adams. Of course, that's MBS. That's, you know, Equanimous St. Brown. It's, you know, if Randall Cobb happens to be active, any of these guys, I don't want nothing to do with them. What do you think about them going forward? Is there anyone that we talked about a little bit already, but any of them that you would absolutely want try to have on your team? No?
No. I've tried to trade for MVS in Dynasty, but redraft, no, I'm good. This week. Not going forward. I don't want any of them.
Agreed. And the other one I have is all the Seahawks wide receivers playing the 49ers. Now, that's not because of the 49ers defense. It's because of the usage of the receivers. You have no idea which of those three receivers are going to go off. They want to run the ball. They will be able to run the ball against my 49ers. Obviously, they'll probably ground and pound it all night. Russell Wilson will probably throw 17 passes all game. And if they're not all going to one receiver, you probably don't know who that receiver is going to be. So I'm going to pass on all three receivers, Baldwin, Lockett, and David Moore.
I wouldn't feel too upset playing Baldwin. His targets are going up. I think his production is getting a little better. He's getting healthier. So I'd probably play him. I might have to due to injuries, but myself, but I won't feel that bad about doing it. Could be worse off.
Yeah, I think it depends on what your options are. I think he does get the targets, so depending on what your options are, you may have to start him because you probably drafted him fairly high, so you may not have a receiver to replace him. But I think if they were to announce that, like, say, Traquan Smith was playing, I'd start Traquan Smith over Baldwin. That's just me, though. I don't know if that's how you feel.
I don't know. That's hard. And then I don't know how to feel about Tyler Lockett whatsoever. Nothing about his numbers makes any sense this year.
Yep.
He has 8 touchdowns on 43 receptions.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, he's scoring, what, every 7 times he touches the ball?
That's crazy.
I don't know. My math's bad. What? Almost every 6 times. Like, that's not normal. And I can't. So.
Yeah. All right. What do you got for some slow your role players?
I actually have one other from the Ravens game, and that's Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, against the Ravens, I don't think I'm starting any running back if I don't have to. Tevin Coleman was probably a fringe player for you already. He'd probably become a full-time starter because of Devontae Freeman going down. But my guess is if you have Tevin Coleman, you probably had someone that you drafted that could be better than him. So if he's on your sort of fringe, I'm definitely benching Tevin Coleman this week if I don't have to play him.
Yeah, Baltimore's ranked 5th against the run right now, so I'm not getting near him. Then terrible matchup is Marlon Mack versus Jacksonville.
Yeah, this is another tough one too with Jacksonville's defense. I know they haven't been as good as they were last year as far as getting turnovers and such, but they're still a very, very good defense. And Marlon Mack, I don't know. I don't trust it. I think Andrew Luck will be doing his thing. Marlon Mack may be involved in the passing game a little bit, but not as much as the other running backs they have there in that offense. So, yeah, I don't think I like Marlon Mack. Unless I have to start him, I don't think I'm playing him this week.
Now I'm shying pretty far away from him. And a lot of that, still receivers, T.Y. and Locke, I guess. They're still locks for me. And then Ebron. Next up is Josh Gordon versus Minnesota.
I think this will probably depend on the status of Rhodes and if he plays or not, because I think that he'll be the one to pick up Josh Gordon. But even still, I think it's still going to be a tough matchup for him. That defense is very, very good. I've already kind of expressed my concern with Tom Brady at quarterback. He just doesn't look like Tom Brady of old. And I don't think he's able to put up the kind of numbers that he used to, which is going to affect Josh Gordon's numbers. I think if you have Josh Gordon, again, you probably have receivers you drafted that are better than Josh Gordon or at least ranked higher than Josh Gordon. I don't think I'm playing Josh Gordon if I have to.
Nope, not at all. And then we said Minnesota is averaging 58 yards, you know, 58 yards a game to our wide receiver ones. And Football Outsiders has them first in DVOA against wide receiver ones. So he's going to have a rough day, and he's not really a superstar receiver anyways, like people are acting like.
Right, exactly.
Now, I feel like who actually likes the player, but I've trashed the last few weeks. We mentioned earlier is Tyler Boyd against Denver. Denver still has a pretty good pass defense, even though they couldn't do anything against Juju this week. but Tyler Boyd's all they have, and they got just quarterback. There's nothing I like about that situation.
What about if AJ Green is back? Does that change your mind at all with him?
Not really that much. I mean, Denver's still pretty good, and it's still Driscoll quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think if you have Boyd, you've been happy with him all season, and I think that you might still want to start him if you had to, but if I had better options, yeah, I'm slowing my roll a little bit on Tyler Boyd against that Denver pass defense. They are pretty good.
Right, and they have Chris Harris, who normally covers the slot, who's their best corner. And that's going to be used on Boyd, and that's not a nice matchup.
Not at all.
And then I'm going to stick in the division and have Big Ben, even though it is home, against the Chargers. Chargers defense has been really good this year, kind of going under the radar and getting a lot of turnovers, getting to the quarterback. This is a great line matchup for them, but Big Ben didn't look that great, minus the 400 yards. And seemed like there was a little discourse this week with him ripping on his receivers. So I'm not feeling great about him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you drafted Big Ben, you probably have another option. If Big Ben is, you know, go up against that Chargers defense, I think he will still put up some good points. But if I got another option that can put up has a better matchup, I'm going that route because Big Ben is hard to trust. I know he is much better at home. He's got tons of good weapons. But that Chargers defense is legit, and Joey Bosa is back, so I think that he gets a little bit more snaps this week. And I think Big Ben's sort of on that fringe, and if you can bench him, do it.
Did you hear him throw everybody under the bus for his interceptions?
I did not see the. I saw a little bit of the excerpts on it, but I didn't see the whole interview.
He said Antonio Brown has won in the end zone to end the game. He said Antonio Brown ran a bad route. And that's why. And then he ripped on James Washington for not catching the one deep ball.
Damn.
Like he, it wasn't pretty, man.
Eesh. Not good
and
at all.
I don't like, I hate that to go into a matchup like that. And I mean, the Chargers last three games, quarterbacks put up 7.9, 8.2, and 6.1.
Eesh.
They weren't good quarterbacks per se, but they weren't, they haven't had a quarterback throw over, get over 20 fantasy points since week three.
Wow, that's impressive.
So they're pretty solid. They're third against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy.
And this is a big game for both teams as far as playoffs concerned, too. So they're both going to be up amped for this game.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to week 13, this or that. We're going to pick two players from the same game and basically pick which one we want to have over the other for this week. Starting off with one guy we already talked about a little bit, Calvin Ridley for the Falcons, or John Brown for the Ravens. Which of those two guys would you rather play?
Yeah, that one's hard. I mean, matchup-wise, I like it more for John Brown, obviously, but Lamar Jackson hasn't really had eyes for John Brown since he's came back. Like, he's kind of disappeared. I'm probably going to lean his way because of the big play threat against that terrible offense. But you know what? He still had seven targets last week.
Yeah, there you go.
Now that I'm looking at that, he had caught one of them, but seven targets. And this could be a game where they're forced to throw a little bit more. So I'm going to lean John Brown.
Yeah, I think I'm going John Brown as well, just because there is the volume there. There is the chance that he gets that one big play where he just, you know, he may get seven targets and still get one catch. But if it's a 60-yard touchdown, you're happy with that. So I think I'm going John Brown as well with this one.
Yeah. Next up, we got Cam Newton or Jameis Winston.
It's Cam for me. I think both of them are still very volatile as far as their quarterbacking. I think Cam has gotten a little bit better over the years. But, you know, they are both capable of going out and throwing up some duds. But Cam Newton's floor is so much better than Jameis Winston's floor. I think Jameis Winston's floor is probably in the negatives. Cam Newton, with his rushing ability and, you know, his red zone use, I think that he's definitely the quarterback to go with. The only time I think I'd go with Jameis Winston would be if I'm in, like, a Hail Mary situation where I have to win and the team that I'm playing is outmatched me, and I just think I need that sort of that four touchdown crazy throw the ball over the field kind of game from Jameis Winston. I think that he has a better opportunity to do that with that offense being the way that it is over Cam Newton. So I think if I need a Hail Mary, it's Jameis Winston.
Yeah, it's not even close. I think Cam's a slam dunk in the situation. He's having best season of his career right now. He actually has some solid weapons around him with DJ Moore, McCaffrey, I guess Funches, you call him a decent weapon, but like, he's had three games all season under 20 fantasy points.
Yep, he's got a
and his
great
lowest
floor.
Was 14-7. I'm rolling Cam. He's been great this year. He might be up there for my top three quarterbacks this week.
Yep, I think I agree. I think Cam Newton is the way to go. All right, the next one I got here is two receivers from the same game. We got Sterling Shepard, who's kind of fallen off over the last couple of weeks, and Allen Robinson, who seems to have a big game every now and then, but not often enough for where you drafted him. Which one you got for this game?
Allen Robinson, he's their top receiver. I mean, I'd have to go that. I don't think you'd bench him in any case for Shepard.
Yeah, I think I agree there as well. I think it's Allen Robinson, despite his bad games lately. I think that Shepard's floor is so much worse than Allen Robinson. He's the number one receiver there. I think that Allen Robinson gets the targets, gets the volume. It's probably their better red zone threat as well. So I think it's Robinson for me, hands down.
Would you go Anthony Miller or Sterling Shepard?
I think I'm closer. Yeah, it's a little closer. I think I'd go Sterling Shepard in that scenario, just because I know the Bears want to run the ball and play defense, whereas the Giants can't do either one of those. Well, they could run the ball with Barkley, but they can't play defense. So I think they'll be forced to pass a little bit more than the Bears will be forced to pass. So I think I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard in that scenario.
Yeah. I think I'm going to Anthony Miller just off the big playability for those two.
Fair enough.
All right. I guess we're sticking with the same game. Tariq Cohen or Jordan Howard?
This is always a tough question. Is it going to be a Tariq Cohen game or a Jordan Howard game? And I think lately it's been a more of a Tariq Cohen games than pretty much Jordan Howard. And I'm going to stick to that route. I'm going to go with Tariq Cohen again. I think that he – He's been getting the volume in the passing game. He's been getting touches in the run game as well. Jordan Howard has not shown me much over the past few weeks, and I don't think he showed me much this week either. I think that Tarik Cohen is who I'm going with.
Can I pick Cry in the corner rather than make this decision? Like, it's terrible, man. I was such a Jordan Howard truther before Nagy took over. And I would love him on a different team. But yeah, I don't want any shares either of them, but I'd probably go Tarik Cohen.
All right, we got one here from Facebook that someone threw out to us. Baker Mayfield or Dak Prescott?
Who's Dallas got this week?
Dallas has the Saints, I believe. Yeah, Saints on Thursday night.
Ooh, I think I'm gonna go Dak. I mean, the Saints have been better than expected, but they're gonna have to throw the ball. They can't just have Ezekiel Elliott and nothing else against that offense. He's putting up 40 points a game.
Yep.
Like, I'm going Dak on that.
Yeah, I think
been playing a lot better as of the last few weeks.
Yeah, he really has. I think I had a stat last week. Since week 6, Dak Prescott's been QB number 10 as far as fantasy points per game since week 6. So I think that, you know, in that game as well where they got to throw the ball a ton, I think that they're going to do that. And I think Dak Prescott will probably end up, you know, getting some rushing yards as well. Baker Mayfield's got a tough matchup with the Texans. I think I'm going Prescott there as well.
Yeah, all definitely. Right. Going Prescott on that.
Kind of lost our train of thought there. Let's go back to, running backs. Actually, two guys from the same team. We kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but we'll go ahead and talk about it again. Carlos Hyde or TJ Yeldon, which one do you like better?
I'm going Hyde. I think he has the opportunity to be more of the workhorse role there, and he's a more well-rounded back, even though Yeldon is a talented dude. I think Hyde's just a little better. They brought him in for a reason. They traded for him to be Fournette's backup. He's a closer skill set, so I think that'll be the way they go.
Yeah, I agree. I think that first game that he played where Fournette was out, I don't think he had gotten enough time to get the playbook under his belt. I think now that he does have that and he is sort of a more Fournette-type runner, I think that Hyde gets the bulk here, and I think that he would be who I'd go with as well.
Yeah. Ooh, next one we have A.J. Green, assuming he's back, or Emmanuel Sanders.
This one's tough because, you know, in a normal scenario, you're probably going A.J. Green just in a vacuum. But coming back from injury, Jeff Driskel as his quarterback, Emmanuel Sanders has been amazing this year. I think he surprised everybody. I think I'm going with Sanders. I think Sanders has another big game. He's been targeted like crazy over the past few weeks. A.J. Green may come back and not be as healthy. And like I said, he's got Jeff Driskel as his quarterback this week.
Yeah. I'm going to flip that. I'll go A.J. Green on that. I mean, A.J. Green doesn't need a ton of targets to be relevant. He needs 6 targets to put up an 80 to 100-yard game and a touchdown. If he's healthy or near health, if he's 80%, he's better than 90% of the receivers in the league. So I'm going to lean his way, even though Sanders has played really well. But A.J. Green's an elite, elite wide receiver.
And you're not worried about him coming off injury, not being fully healthy?
No, he's played banged up his whole career. Like, I remember when everyone used to say A.J. Green was injury prone, even though he's only missed 1 or 2 games a year, if that.
Yeah.
But he's played banged up. I have faith in him. And like, he's the best in the league. And Sanders is good, but it's not A.J. Green good.
All right, fair enough. All right, this next one we're going to skip over. Actually, I'm sorry, not the next one. The one after this we'll skip over. We'll do the next one here. Deion Lewis or Lamar Miller?
Give me Deion Lewis. They're going to be in a high-scoring game to play and catch up. He's the receiving back there. And Tennessee's been pretty good against the run, so they'll probably shut Lamar Miller down, especially after coming off a big game like that. He's due to disappoint us all. But I like Deion Lewis's role in a game where they're going to be playing from behind.
All right, good stuff. This next one we'll skip, but we'll do Big Ben versus Phillip Rivers.
Oh, I'm going Phillip Rivers all day in this one. Pittsburgh's pass defense is still not good. It hasn't been all year. And Melvin Gordon's not there, so they're going to be passing a hell of a lot more for the Chargers. So I'm going Phillip Rivers.
Yep, I agree. I think without Melvin Gordon there, they're going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. Eckler is a pass-catching running back. I know Gordon was as well, but I think Gordon was a better runner than Eckler is, so I think that they're going to kind of sort of mold the offense around that. And I think Rivers and Keenan Allen are going to have a huge game this week, and I take him over Big Ben any day.
Oh, side note. I don't know the ownership percentage. It just made me think. Mike Williams is another guy worth grabbing up in free agency if he's out there for them, especially with Tyrell being banged up as well.
That's a good point. Yep, that's a good point.
No Tyrell, no Melvin Gordon. He's going to see more targets. Yep. So he's a guy I'd grab. Probably play in the flex if I had a chance.
That's a good point. One last one. What you got?
Josh Adams or Adrian Peterson?
In a vacuum, it's going to be Adrian Peterson. But I think that if we look at the injuries the Redskins have and, you know, everything going on with them, I think that I'm going to go Josh Adams. I'm going to play with the upside. I think Peterson is a great choice. I think he's been great all season, but that offensive line is not very good. They got Colt McCoy now at quarterback. So there's no threat really, at the quarterback position. I think that their receivers are banged up, and they'll just kind of stack the box to force Adrian Peterson to try to beat them, and I don't think he can. I think Josh Adams has a big game this week.
Yeah, I'm going more towards Josh Adams too. Things are looking bad in Washington with that offensive line the way it is and being beat up. And Adrian Peterson, he's not 100% healthy now, is he?
No, he's been battling injuries all year. I think at one point he had a separated shoulder and still came back and played.
Yeah, I'm probably going. I'm leaning probably heavily towards Josh Adams.
Agreed. All right, Ryan, that wraps up the podcast for today. Go ahead and let everybody know where we can find you at on Twitter and wherever else we can find you at.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Searfoss at FantasyFB Connect. You can find me on, I guess, everywhere now because our podcast has been expanded live everywhere. Hopefully some better pictures of me on the YouTube page because I really hate you for that. I don't know why that works.
I don't know why. It picks it by itself. I don't pick it.
I think you're trolling me, but it's all right. You can find me at Dominate Fantasy Football. You can find me at goingfor2.com. A little bit everywhere.
All right. Good stuff. Yeah, this was our first live everywhere show. I don't know if y'all noticed, but I was a bit distracted in this podcast because I had so much going on trying to get everything situated over here. But I think overall everything went well. We went live everywhere. Everything seemed to work. So good stuff there. And as always, you can follow me at JeffLambert77 on Twitter. Find me at goingfor2.com, of course. TalkLoudRadio.com. Everywhere. But basically now, just like Ryan said, we're everywhere. So everyone have a good night and good luck this weekend.
All right. See ya.